Today is the last day of the English Bible Seminar, and I am Brother Chris Moyano. Thank you again for joining us. This is the all-important day as we are going to learn how to be proper born-again Christians, as we've already accepted Jesus as our Savior. But now, in order to fulfill the good fruits and be able to help inspire others and help them come to salvation, we have to know how we're supposed to be good brothers and sisters in Christ.
Welcome again to this wonderful opportunity of summer retreat. Let's pray together. Let's bow our head. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this wonderful time. All of us, we have been blessed through your wonderful grace. We thank you so much for that. All of us, we were great sinners, and we were in the bondage of sin. But you have saved us from the power of sin, and you have adopted us as your children. We thank you so much for that. We were in the darkness, but now we are in the light of Jesus Christ. And we were prisoners of Satan's power, but you deliver us from that power, and you have made us your beautiful children. Thank you so much for that. Now, we want to follow you in our Christian life. Father, please lead us and guide us into the right direction and teach us how we can serve you in our Christian life. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Teach us what manner of Christian life we should have at this time. And teach us how we must live as children of God, so that we may glorify your wonderful name in our daily life. Please open the door of evangelism more widely in our church. Empower us and give us wisdom and courage so that we can boldly testify the name of Jesus Christ to the people around us and lead them into salvation and glorify your name. Bless our church and open the door evangelism. And your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our first scripture passage is found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. From verse 1 through 10, let me read out loud. And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What a great and wonderful privilege to become children of God. It is the most honorable and great experience that we can have in our Christian life. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by believing His forgiveness of sins, you have become children of God, and God has made you, adopted you as His children. God is your Father, and you are His children. What a great blessing it is. This is the most wonderful and the most honorable privilege that we can enjoy in this life. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Ephesians basically is explaining the mystery of Church of Christ. It is explaining what the church is all about. There is a mystery of church revealed in the book of Ephesians. If you have time, why don't you read from the beginning to the end, thoroughly from the beginning to the end, then you will love this book. This is a wonderful book explaining the meaning of Christian church. Here in chapter 2, it is explaining to us how we were in the past before we got saved. And it is also explaining the present and current condition of born-again Christians. We were like this in the past, and now we are like this presently. This is what chapter 2 is describing and explaining. Verse 1 read, "You He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience." Formerly, before we got saved, according to the scripture, we were children of wrath, children of Satan, not children of God. We remember in John chapter 8 that some Pharisees, they were calling the name of Abraham, and they were calling Abraham as their father. And Jesus told them that Abraham was not their father, but their father was the devil. The father of unsaved people is devil. It is very shocking and striking remark. Therefore, the Pharisees, they were shocked to hear that. Before we got saved, we were children of wrath, children of Satan in some sense. And according to this book of Ephesians, we were children of disobedience. In the past, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That is describing the spirituality of non-saved people. But now, Christians, they have been alive. They are not dead anymore. They are alive because Jesus Christ made us alive, and He gave us new life, and we lived again. We were once dead, but now we are alive. What a great privilege it is. We have become children of God. We were dead, but now we are alive in Christ Jesus. Why don't you remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? God commanded Adam not to eat the forbidden fruit. And on the day that Adam ate the forbidden fruit, he was supposed to die. "If you eat of it, you shall surely die," God told Adam. And according to Genesis' account, Satan deceived the woman first, and the woman ate the forbidden fruit. And then she gave the fruit to her husband, Adam. And Adam followed her. He also ate the forbidden fruit. On the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, God told Adam before. Therefore, on the day that Adam ate the forbidden fruit, on that very day, Adam died. But if you carefully read Genesis' account, Adam, he didn't die right away. He lived up to 930 years. What happened to the word of God? What happened to the warning of God? Adam was supposed to die on the day that he ate the forbidden fruit. The word of God was not wrong. Does God make mistakes? No, never. It is impossible for God to make mistakes. God told Adam that Adam was supposed to die on the day that he ate the forbidden fruit. What happened to Adam? You need to understand it very carefully. Physically, Adam didn't die right away, but he died progressively in some sense. He lived up to 930 years, but finally, he died. So in that sense, Adam, he died progressively. His heart became corrupted because of sins. He was dying mentally. But on the day that he ate the forbidden fruit, Adam's spirit died right away. Adam, according to the warning of God, as God had foretold, he died on that day immediately. The spirit of Adam died on that day. The biblical meaning of death is the separation from God. When the soul of a man comes out of the body, we call it physical death. A body without a soul is dead body, right? So at the time of physical death, the soul who is living inside our body comes out of our body. When the soul is separated from the body, it is death, physical death. What happened to Adam? On the day that Adam ate the forbidden fruit, the spirit of Adam died right away because the spirit of Adam was separated from God. Before Adam committed sin, he was walking peacefully with God. He was walking with God in the Garden of Eden. But on the day that he ate the forbidden fruit, he was separated from God. The spirit of Adam was separated. That happened to Adam. Therefore, here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, before we got saved, we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We were separated from God. That's what it means. We were dead. Physically, we were okay. Mentally, a little bit okay. But spiritually, all non-believer, unsaved men, they are spiritually dead. This is what the scripture says. And when we were dead in our sins, in the past, we were not the children of God. We were children of wrath, which means that we were supposed to receive God's judgment. The wrath of God was hovering over our head. We were the children of wrath. And here is the lifestyle of the non-believer. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Yes, we were in the past children of wrath. And we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of our body. Not the desire of our God, but the desire of Satan. The desire of the flesh. Therefore, we were children of wrath. What a miserable state it was. We were in the bondage of sin, and we were under the power of Satan. And by nature, we were children of wrath. And we were supposed to be thrown into the hellfire. And right at the moment, God, who is rich in mercy, he took brave action. And he decided to come down to this world, to this earth, and save the sinner from the power of sin. Therefore, God became a man, and he appeared as a man, and he lived like a man, and finally he died on the cross like a sinner, even though he was not a sinner, but he died on the cross like a sinner, and he received the full payment for our sins, because the wages of our sin is death. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, he died on the cross. As a man, he was crucified on the cross. And he received the payment for our sins. And he shed his precious blood. And through that very blood, precious blood, he forgave all of our sins. And he washed away all of our sins. And he cleansed away all of our sins forever and ever. And he cast away all of our sins behind his back, which means that he does not remember our sins. He forgave all of our sins. And he adopted us, the believer, as his children. What a great privilege and wonderful privilege it is. We were dead in trespasses. Verse 5, read. But Jesus Christ, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. We were dead, but God made us alive and raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ in heaven. This is a present spiritual status of born-again believers. We are still on earth. We still have weak and fragile and not perfect body. We have weak body, but in a spiritual sense, in a legal sense, we have become God's children. God has adopted us as his children. Therefore, in that sense, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved. What a wonderful news it is. By grace we have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship. Verse 10 read, we are born-again believers. We were sinners in the past. We were in the darkness in the past. But we are not sinners anymore. We are righteous people. We were in the darkness of sin, but now we are in the light of Jesus Christ. We were children of wrath, but now we are children of God. What a great news it is. And in that sense, we are born-again Christian. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand, when? If you carefully read it, it was before the foundation of the world. The beginning verses of the book of Ephesians tells us about it. What a great mystery it is. Even before the foundation of this world, God, way in the past, beforehand, he planned, he made a great plan to save us from our sins and to adopt us as his children and make us his workmanship for good work, so that we may live not anymore for ourselves, but for Christ and his purpose and his kingdom. Therefore, the new purpose of life is given to us. Now we have found the meaning of our life, the true meaning of our life. The genuine and true purpose of life is given to us. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That was the plan of God. The plan that was made beforehand, long, long time ago, before the foundation of the world. What a great news it is. Let's understand that we are children of God, and we are honorably and wonderfully adopted by God and chosen by God. He made us his children. This is the salvation of Saul. The Bible tells us that we are saved from our sins, and we are not sinners anymore. We are 100% secure in the blood of Jesus Christ because we have been already saved. Here in Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It reads, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of Saul. This is a present tense. We have been saved. We have received the salvation of Jesus Christ. So when someone asks you whether you are saved or not, you may daily speak to them, yes, I am. I am saved. And I have been saved since when, we can say. What a great privilege it is. In other words, you may say that you have earned the citizenship of Kingdom of Heaven. You are now citizen of Kingdom of Heaven. You are dual citizen. If you have American citizenship, you have dual citizenship. If you have Korean citizenship, you too also have dual citizenship. Earthly citizenship and heavenly citizenship. What a great privilege it is. We have been saved through faith by the grace of God. Let me simply summarize salvation of soul. All believers in Christ, they are saved. Salvation of soul. Their souls are saved. This is a present perfect tense. And it is a spiritual birth, being born again. Why don't you open your Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's stop a moment and turn to Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yes, as many as received him, to them God gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, to them God gives the right to become children of God. We are born again as the children of God. This is a spiritual birth. And we have earned citizenship of kingdom of heaven. Remember that you have dual citizenship. And you have been saved from the penalty of sin. Salvation of soul, it brings salvation from the penalty of sins. It simply means that we are not supposed to receive the penalty of our sins anymore, because we are not sinners anymore. Legally, we have been saved from the judgment of our sins, because Jesus Christ, he already had paid the penalty of our sins. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, "It is finished." The penalty of our sin is done, because Jesus himself, he paid the penalty of our sin fully and completely. The death of Jesus on the cross, it was the full payment for our sins. The transaction is completed. Jesus took away the penalty of our sin, and he received it. Therefore, we are not to receive it. We are exempted from the penalty of our sins. What a great news it is. I'm saved. I'm okay. And I'm not condemned anymore. I don't need to receive the judgment for my sins anymore. No more. Because I have been saved. This is the salvation of our souls. Since the time of salvation, Christians, they grow as children of God. When the baby is born, there is a birthday, then the baby will grow day by day, day by day. It takes time. Babies, they must be fed by food. At first, by the milk of mother. Then as they grow, soft food. When they become pretty big, then hard food. Likewise, Christians, they are growing moment by moment and day by day. We are born as the children of God, and since that time, we grow as the children of God. There is a growing process. Salvation, being born again as the children of God. That is an instant experience. That is an instant experience that we can experience only one time in our life. That happened at the time that we believe Jesus as our personal Savior. That happened at the time that we believe His full forgiveness of our sins. Through faith, we have been saved by His grace. And since that time, Christians, they grow. That is a gradual process. It requires time. That is the salvation of life. It is called as the salvation of life. Salvation of life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the salvation of life. This is a different type of salvation. Someone might say like this, "How can I know that I am really saved or not? Are you saved?" I don't know. I'm not sure. The reason why so many people say like that is because they do not correctly understand the meaning of salvation. So many people, they misunderstand this passage, Philippians chapter 2, and they understand that they need to accomplish their salvation day by day, moment by moment, by walking hard. I have to try hard to make up my salvation complete. No. They are misunderstanding the meaning of this passage. Philippians chapter 2. It tells us that we need to walk out our salvation. The book of Philippians, it was given to the Philippian believers. They were already born-again believers. They were not non-believers. They were Christians. And Apostle Paul, he was writing a letter to the Philippian believers, and he was asking them to live rightly according to the right manner of Christians. Philippian brothers and sisters, Philippian believers, if you believe that you have been saved, why don't you live correctly according to the Word of God? Why don't you show your faith in your life? And why don't you show your honor and glory to the people around you? Walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul was addressing to them not because they might lose the salvation, but because they might lose the honor of born-again Christians. When Christians do not live correctly, when they do not obey the Word of God, they are losing the power of Christians, and they are losing the honor of Christians, and they are defaming the name of Christians, and they are dishonoring the name of God. In that sense, the true born-again Christian, they are supposed to obey the Word of God because they have become children of God already. In that sense, they need to walk out their salvation with fear and trembling. Not because they might go to hellfire again if they commit sins again, no, but because they might dishonor the name of God in their life. Hey, Christians, if you guys are Christian, why do you guys behave like that? Why do you guys live like that? The people around you might say like that to you. Therefore, you must be very, very careful and behave correctly. In that sense, with fear and trembling. Salvation of life. So when Christians practice the citizenship of Christian, they are growing well spiritually. This is a present tense, ongoing process. They need to obey the word of God as the children of God. They need to show the honor of God to the people around them. By doing that, they can grow, and they will practice their citizenship by doing that. And in that sense, they will be saved from the power of sin. What does it mean? There is sinful nature around us, but when we obey the word of God, we may overcome it. There is a power of sin. Like this. Here's the power of gravity. It falls to the center of the earth because of the law of gravity. But when I hold this pen, it doesn't fall because of this power. Likewise, there is a sinful power around us. We are still exposed to the sinful power around us. There are many kinds of temptations and sufferings and many kinds of dangers surrounded around us. There are many, many forms of temptations and sinful influences around us. But Christians, when they obey the word of God, when they walk together with God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, they may overcome the power of sins, even though the power of sins are present around them. In that sense, Christians are saved from the power of sins. Remember one more time that through the salvation of your soul, you have been already saved from the penalty of sin. But you have not been perfectly saved from the power of sin in this life. Therefore, you need to overcome it every moment, day by day, moment by moment in your Christian life. Christians, can they make sin again? Can they commit sin again? The Bible says, yes, they can. The Bible says that it is not okay for Christians to commit sin. Shall we continue in sin? No, not at all. Romans chapter 6 tells us very simply and very clearly. It is okay for us to commit sin? No, not at all. Bible never says that it is okay for Christians to commit sin. But it is true that Christians are not perfect yet. They may commit sin. They may fall into sin. Therefore, they must be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. They must be equipped with the armor of Christ, with the Word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they need to overcome it. And they will grow by doing that. And they will practice their citizenship of heaven by doing that. It is a present tense. There are influences of sins, but the Christians, they will be saved from the influences of sin when they obey the word of God. This is what the scripture teaches very clearly. Christians, they must grow day by day, day by day. Work out your own salvation. What is the meaning of work out? In our English word, work out, it means 20-minute full-body workout. At home or at gym, you may work out your body. Make up your own body. Make your body more healthy. That's what it means. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make your salvation more complete, more beautiful. That's what it means. Grow as a good Christian. In order to grow as a good Christian, you need to have these four things, four elements for best Christian life. Like the four wheel of a vehicle, there are four essential elements in our Christian life. First, the Word of God, the will of the Word of God. Second, the prayer. Third, the fellowship of Christians. Fourth, evangelism and church service. These are like four wheel of an automobile. Any one of them shouldn't be missing. All of them, we must have it. First, the Word of God. Christians, they grow by the Word of God. Man shall live not by bread alone, but by the Word of God, which comes out of the mouth of God. Our body, this physical body, we need physical food. We need nutrition. Likewise, our soul needs food. That is the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word, by every word which comes out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is the nutrition for our souls. Therefore, you need to eat it every day. Prophet Jeremiah once said, I ate the Word of God. And Job, he once said, he esteemed the Word of God more than necessary food. The man of God in the Bible, they loved the Word of God. And they had a passion for the Word of God. The Word of God. It is our spiritual food. How can we survive without eating food? It is impossible. Look at the nature. Every creature in this universe, on this earth, they need food. If not, they cannot survive. Therefore, our souls, we need food. If you want to grow well as a Christian, why don't you drink the milk of God as much as you can? Why don't you desire the Word of God as much as you can? You will be fed by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice or deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It was also given to the born-again believers. Born-again believers. Therefore, laying aside all malice or deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Christians, they must lay aside all bad things. What does it mean? They may still have these kind of bad things in their life. But it is not okay for them to own it and to practice it in their life. Therefore, they need to try their best to lay aside all of them. Christians, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Newly born again Christian, they are like newly born babes. Babies, they are craving for the milk. Wow, they drink milk so often. Sometimes every 2 hours, every 3 hours. Babies are cranking. Why? Because they are craving for the milk. The Word of God is like the milk for our souls. Desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When we drink it fully, then it will make us grow well. So if you want to grow as a good Christian, why don't you drink the milk of God as much as you can? Read the Bible every day, and you may listen to the sermon periodically. And here's a recommendation. If you can, you may read 4 chapters of the Bible every day. Then you can finish the whole Bible in a year. At least 4 chapters of the Bible. You may start from the New Testament. I like to recommend the book of Romans and Gospel of John. Very necessary and very essential book. Gospel of John and the book of Romans, both of them, they are explaining very well about the salvation of Christ. And all the books in the New Testament Bible are important, but the book of Romans and the Gospel of John, they are very, very important books. They are well explaining the meaning of salvation. So when you read it, you will understand more deeply the meaning of salvation, and you will enjoy it. Then you can go back to the Gospel of Matthew, and you may read the New Testament from the book of Matthew through the book of Revelation. And you may repeat it about 2 or 3 times, the whole New Testament. Then you go back to the book of Genesis. Then you can read the Old Testament Bible. You may read the Old Testament Bible 2 or 3 times. That means that you have read the whole Bible 2 or 3 times. Then you will love this book. You will like it. There is a joy in reading the scripture. Personally, you need to read it. Book of Psalm, chapter 1. Let me give you one verse in the book of Psalm, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of God, who sits and stands in the path of the believers. And his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, in the Bible. And in his law, he meditates day and night, reading the scripture and meditating the Word of God every day. Meditation, it means read and think about it again and again, again and again. As the cow chew the cud, we read the scripture deeply. Read it again and again. Then something great you may earn. God will give you a mystery of God. Reading the scripture and meditating on it day and night, every day, then you will be blessed. This is what you need to do. The word of God is like a food. And second, prayer. What is the prayer? Prayer is the communication between God and the believers. God speaks to us through his word. So when we read the Bible, we may listen to his voice. When we listen to the sermon, we are listening to the guidance of the word of God. God speaks through his word. And we speak back to him through our prayer. This is the way of communication. Let me repeat it one more time. God is speaking to you through his own word. You may listen to it. And you may speak to God through your prayer. It is not necessary that you must be eloquent. No. Just simply say what you want to say to your Father. Kneel down, close your eyes, and with clean heart. If you have something wrong in your life, if you feel so, then you may confess it to the Lord. And you may speak to your God, and your Father will listen to you. God hears your prayer. That is one of the most wonderful privileges that Christians can enjoy. We may pray to our Lord. Remember that other religious people in other religion, they are also praying to their God. But their God, where are they? They do not exist. So many people in other religion, they are just praying to some God who do not exist. Useless, effortless, meaningless. But we are different. We are speaking to our living God, and he is listening to us. He is our Father, and we are his children. Remember one more time that there are four elements of Christian life. First, the Word of God. Second, the prayer. Prayer. Third, the fellowship. And the fourth, evangelism and Christian service. Fellowship. What is the fellowship? Fellowship is the communication between two parties and many other parties. There is a fellowship between God and the believer. And there is also fellowship between believers. This is the meaning of fellowship in the Bible. Koinonia in Greek language. It means fellowship. In our English word, we use friendship, partnership, and something like that. What is fellowship? All of us, we are fellows in Christ. We walk together, and we live together. That is the meaning of fellowship. First, there is a fellowship between God and the believer. 1 John. Why don't you turn to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, it is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The first John, it is describing like this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is basically talking about the sins that Christians may make in their Christian life. Remember one more time that Christians, they are children of God. They are saved already. But it does not necessarily mean that they have been perfected. No, not yet. Because we still have our physical body. This is weak body. This is still sinful body. Nothing happened to our body, but something happened to our soul. Our soul is saved, but our body is not saved yet. Therefore, we need to work out our salvation in our bodily life, day by day, moment by moment. Then we grow as a mature Christian. Remember that God was a judge when we were sinners before God, before salvation. But after we get saved, God becomes our Father, and we become His child. New relationship is formed. God is our Father, and we are His Son. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the sons of God, that the children of God, they have been perfected. No, not yet. Therefore, they may have sins still in their Christian life. When Christians make sin in their Christian life, what happened to them? This is a very, very important concept. It does not take away their salvation. It does not cancel their status in Christ. It is not that they lose again their salvation. They are 100% secure in the blood of Jesus because they are given eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said to His disciple, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Yes, born-again believers, they are eternally saved, eternally secure in the blood of Jesus. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. We may never lose our salvation. Never, never. But when Christians make sins in their Christian life, what happened to them? Even though they do not lose their salvation, the sin that they make in their Christian life still makes some influences upon them and upon their life. Sins hinder our fellowship with God. Let us think about this. God is our Father, and we are God's child. These relationship, never breaks. It is 100% secure forever and ever. We are eternally secure. The relationship between God and the children never breaks, but the fellowship may be broken when Christian, the children of God, commit sin. When they commit sin, the fellowship will be broken. That's what it means. Therefore, in order to keep the fellowship with God, Christians, they must obey the word of God. Verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Let me read one more time. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Here are two different kinds of fellowship I explained. The fellowship, first, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a fellowship between God and His believers, between Father and His children. And also, there is a fellowship within Christian brothers and sisters. You may have fellowship with us, fellowship between believers, and the fellowship between our Father and His children. Therefore, we need to try our best not to commit sin in our Christian life. If we commit sin, then we need to confess our sins. Here in chapter 1, verse 9, it reads, if we confess our sins, God is still faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is talking about the sins that Christians may make in their Christian life. When they commit sin, they will not lose the salvation, but they will lose the fellowship. Therefore, they need to confess them. If we, Christians, if we confess our sins, God is still faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means that He is going to treat us again as His children. He is going to hug us again because He loves us. What a wonderful news it is. God is still faithful and He is loving and He's just. Therefore, He forgives His children. Here is the condition. If we confess. Therefore, Christians, they need to confess their sins if they make mistake in their Christian life. But some kind of sins, if they make really, really big sins, they need to pay the penalty for their sins. Not condemnation again, but there will be discipline of God. As the Father disciplines child, God, our Father, He disciplines our children, His children. God disciplines His children. That's what the scripture says. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 8. There is a God's chastisement for His children. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. There is a chastisement for all Christians. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers. We all are chastened by God. If you are without chastening, you are illegitimate child and not sons. Something is wrong. God loves his children. Therefore, he disciplines children. He trains his children. He wants to make his children mature Christian. That's what the scripture says. We grow every day and every moment. And at the time that Jesus Christ comes again, then our body will be changed. This sinful body will be transformed into different body, sinless body, and we will become like Christ. This is the salvation of our body. What a great news it is. At the time of the salvation of our body, we will be saved from the existence of sin, from the presence of sin. We will be translated into the place up in heaven where there is no sin power. We will be saved from the presence of sin. This is a future tense. Our body will be glorified. Glorification of body. And in some sense, we will be immigrated to heaven. Yes. So in that sense, church of today is a immigration office for heaven. And we are receiving the applicants. No cost. Freely given to anybody who believes and accepts Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Their application is accepted. Yeah. Church is an immigration office. At the time of second coming of Jesus, our body will be transformed and we will put a new body. We will be immigrated into heaven. Romans chapter 8. We are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. We are waiting for that day. Until we stand before God on the final day, we need to stay in the church of God. The church of God is an assembly of the born-again believers. Church is not a building. Church is a gathering of the born-again believers. The Greek word church, ekklesia, it literally means the gathering of the believers. Ekklesia, iglesia in Espanol. Very similar pronunciation. Ecclesia, it means church. Church means gathering of the believers. It is not the building. So in our English expression, we say, go to the church and go to church. The meaning is different. This is a church building. But the church in the Bible is an invisible gathering of the born-again believers. There is a one universal church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It is composed of all born-again believers. Universal church. And there are also local churches. There are so many local churches in Korea and in U.S., in Europe, many parts of the world. The church, the true church in the Bible, is a gathering of the true born-again believers. If you are born-again Christian, you may stay in the fellowship of true born-again believers. That is the true church. That is your spiritual family. There, God will feed you through the milk. There, you may grow well day by day. And you will become mature Christian. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is abiding in the church, you may preach the gospel to the people around you. Evangelism. So you may witness the name of Jesus Christ to the people around you. Evangelism. That is a very, very important responsibility of born-again Christian. in season and out of season, we need to preach the gospel, evangelism. And also born-again Christians, they need to do some kind of service in their church fellowship. They need to devote their time, sacrifice their family life, and sacrifice their money, and helping the work of the gospel with other brothers and sisters. That is the Christian service. Some people, they devote all of their life by becoming missionaries. And we honor them because of their sacrifices. Christian service, you may do that, and you have to do that. There are so many things that we need to learn in our Christian life, and we will continue to learn about it in our church fellowship. And you may listen to Sunday morning sermon, every Sunday and every Wednesday. And you may attend the local church fellowship and home fellowship. Please be close to the born-again believers. Then you will be associated with them and you will grow as children of God. And the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified and honored in your Christian life. May God bless you and your family. If you have some people who are not saved yet in your family and around you, you may pray to the Lord that He may give you wisdom and power that you may boldly testify the name of Jesus Christ to them and preach the gospel. Remember one more time that God is our Father and we are His children. And the church, this is our family. This is our home. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful love that you have given to all of us. You shed your precious blood and cleansed away all of our sins forever and ever. Thank you so much for that, Father. How can we forget your love, Father? We may never do that. Please be with us in our Christian life and empower us with the Holy Spirit so that we may overcome all the temptations and sinful influences around us and guide us into the right direction so that we may be guided into your way. Please be with us and feed us with your word. We will grow and glorify your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Thank you.